The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. I'm so glad that you have joined us for this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Today, we'll be studying verses 57 to 66 of the first chapter of Luke. We are starting our third week of this journey, and I have learned so much. I have experienced God in a unique way on this journey, and I pray that you have experienced the same. As you know, we have a motto for Jesus' apprentices. And the motto for Jesus' apprentices is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. Those that follow Jesus Christ understand that they should love God, love our neighbors, and love ourselves. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. Every week, we have a special memory verse. And because today is the first day of our third week, I want to introduce to you the memory verse for this week. And the memory verse is, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. What a powerful Bible verse. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. We'll try to remind you of this memory verse, and we'll try to say together throughout this week, so you and I can be blessed and memorize this verse that brings this beautiful concept of God's salvation, God's being present, coming to us and saving us. That's the God that we serve, this God that is accessible, approachable, and always serving and loving us. And that somehow goes along with a special promise that we claim every time we are together, the promise of Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. God is here. God is accessible. He wants to have a fellowship with you. He wants to bless you. And every time we come to his word, we are coming into his presence. And we need to prepare our heart, our soul, to hear his voice, to be sensitive to the impressions of the Holy Spirit. So at this moment, I want to give you 1 minute. 1 minute for you to prepare yourself to receive God's word. Let's seek God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you to be in your presence. there's nothing more important for us than being your presence. That's what we really need. That's the bread that we need. That is the water that we need. Being with you. And at this moment, Lord, I pray that you will guide our thoughts and feelings as we contemplate and study the portion of the Gospel of Luke. Be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, Luke chapter 1, we will start reading verse 57 until 66. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. Again, Luke brings that idea of a coming to a conclusion of a season, at the end of a period of time. Not a specific moment, but a period of time. When the pregnancy was over, after 9 months, the baby was born. The baby boy was born. What the angel had prophesied to Zechariah came and became reality. The word of God is true and comes to fulfillment. And that is beautiful. That is powerful. And that is the assurance that God always keeps his promises. And here comes verse 58. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. Interesting, the angel had said to Zechariah that the baby will bring rejoice and happiness. And see, we see here as well part of this fulfillment of this prophecy. Not only her relatives, but the neighbors are happy. And they can recognize that that baby was a direct action of God. Elizabeth was not able to give birth anymore because of her age. So her having a baby son, was a miracle. And they recognized that. That's beautiful. And it's beautiful to see life and babies and celebrate that. And I remember when I celebrated with my family and friends the birth of Olivia first and then Christopher. What a special moment. And I'm still celebrating their life every single day. I praise God for their lives. Well, then comes verse 59. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. Let's stop here for a second. What we see here, it's a very beautiful description of faithfulness. When the Bible or the book of Luke starts describing who was Zechariah and Elizabeth, the book puts as a couple that were faithful to God. A couple that was trying to do what God has asked them to do. Being part of the people of Israel. They understood that they had a special relationship with God. They have a covenant, a special covenant. That covenant was established with Abraham. And the idea of this covenant was God approached Abraham and saying, I want to be the God of your household. And I want you to accept me as your God. It's a loving relationship, it's a covenant between God and humankind. And the physical demonstration and sign of this covenant, of this pact, was circumcision. The baby boys would be circumcised on the eighth day. And that would declare that they accept God as their ruler, and they want to be people, child of God. So Elizabeth and Zachariah, with their relatives and neighbors, come together to continue and be faithful to God, say, we want to keep under this covenant. We want to be part of your people. We want to love you and have you as what we need and what we look for. The circumcision was like the wedding band. Some cultures, like the Portuguese and the Brazilian culture, we wear a wedding band to show. It's a sign that I have made my covenant with a woman, my wife. So it's a sign of this covenant, this loving covenant between a husband and a wife, in my case, with Rebecca. Today, Christians, they are not circumcised, but the covenant between God is through, the sign of the covenant between God and humankind is through baptism. Baptism is a public declaration that you have accepted God as your God, and you want to be under His protection, loving, and care. That's the reason we do in a public format or way where people can see your declaration. So the sign for today of our covenant with God is the baptism. And you have not, if you have not experienced the baptism, I want to encourage you, do so. Baptism is not a way to say that you're perfect. Nobody's perfect. And after baptism, you will sin many times. But the baptism will say, because I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I can come to Him and He will forgive me because I'm your, I'm His. It is a way to say to everyone that you belong to God and you have accepted God's love for you. It's not about being perfect. It's not about I know everything, right? Some people think that baptism is when you graduate, when you have a quiz. No, there's no such thing. The life of a Christian is ongoing, learning, growing. And that's what we are here. The rescue worker is all about that. Help you to grow, to mature your faith. So please, if you love God and want to be under His love and care, accept His call and publicly declare your love for Him through baptism. So everybody comes to the circumcision of the baby that was born. Everybody is celebrating God's miracle. And then we read. So they wanted to name him Zachariah after his father. What we see here? They. Who are they? The relatives and the neighbors. So the community come and say, we want to name this babe Zachariah. At the time, it looks like that the name was given at the circumcision. The official declaration, the name, the identity was at the moment of circumcision. And the community want to name that baby as Zachariah. But if you remember, the angel Gabriel, had mentioned that the name of the baby should be John. And John means Yahweh. The Lord has shown favor, has present favor. So the name was so powerful, and the angel gave clear instructions. Needs to be this way. But the community said, no, needs to be Zachariah. So then comes verse, 60, a short verse. But Elizabeth said, no, his name is John. So Elizabeth, the mother of the baby, says, no. The name will be Zachariah. No, will not be Zachariah, it will be John. The community wants to name the baby Zachariah. Elizabeth say, no, would be John. I think today would be end of argument. Okay, no problem. Yeah, it would be John. She's the mother of the baby. However, what we see here and throughout the next verse, there is a kind of tension. And even the language, original language, express this idea of tension, of some conflict. Verse 6:1. What? They exclaim. There is no one in all your family by that name. They usually do names related to the family. So the lineage, they would understand that baby comes from that family because the names of that family is that. There's no John. No. You cannot give his name John. You need to give his name Zachariah. What we see here is a group of people try to impose their will upon someone. But at the same time, what we see here is someone by herself being somehow oppressed to get from the community, from the other people, what they want. Even though she said no, they didn't respect her wishes. They didn't see the boundaries that she established. And they just came over and pushed that boundaries. To the point that they say, no. Let's go and talk with John, Zachariah, because we'll convince him. And he would say to you, no, cannot be John. Needs to be Zachariah, right? So they use gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. So by this point, we see that they are trying to push, they are trying to convince, they are trying to impose their idea, their personal preference, what they believe that is correct. However, they don't understand what God had revealed. We don't know how Elizabeth got the name. The Bible doesn't say it. We don't know if Zachariah shared with her or even if she received from the Holy Spirit. Remember when she met Mary, the Holy Spirit took over her and she prophesied and she was able to declare things, but that by herself she would not do that. Zachariah, according to the text here, he didn't only lost his ability to speak, but he was not able to listen as well. So he didn't listen, he didn't hear when Elizabeth says it will be John, because he could not hear. So he starts now, they come to them, to Zachariah, and try to impose him what is necessary through signs, or try to communicate, okay, please tell us what the name is supposed to. And before we go and take the next step and read here, I want to pause here for a second and try to think what's going on here. And how can that be applicable to us today? You know, every one of us have our own opinions and preferences. And that's beautiful. And we should. When we have a situation where there is just one voice, one opinion, one preference, one idea, probably there's challenge there. Because someone is controlling other people, in a sense, because everybody is thinking the same way. We are creatures made in God's image. We can think for ourselves. We can have different ideas, and there is beauty in this diversity. However, we are living moments where the different opinions are not being respected. The different preferences are not being respected. And people are trying to impose their ideas. And I'm not saying that some of the ideas are best or good, but my main concern is the imposing. Because as someone is imposing, someone is suffering. Elizabeth was suffering the pressure of the group. By shame, hey, there's nobody in your family with that name. What do you mean by that? You're not supposed. Sometimes people are shaming people. If you cannot see my point, if you don't believe like I believe, if you don't behave like I behave, you're not as educated as I am. I'm more intelligent. I'm superior than you. You see, that is not God's way. And that's so clear for me when we go back to Genesis 1 and 2 and 3. God knew what was the best for humankind. And what was the best? Don't eat of the tree. God had the power to take away the tree. God had the power to say, you're not eating this tree. That's it. But God, being a kind God, yes, he declares, he makes his argument, but he leaves to Adam and Eve to make their own decision. But today we have Christians not being able to respect other people's decision, and they try to impose their way and their view. Hey, was not God's opinion the best opinion? Yes. Was not the right opinion? Yes. But even though having the right opinion, even though having the correct information, God left for Adam and Eve to make their own decision. He didn't impose. He didn't coerce them to make their decision. And God said, and it was clear, hey, you may die. You will die if you eat it. That's the real. And even though they made that decision, God didn't impose his opinion. Did God didn't impose his way? He respect. Because love is based on respect and freedom. That doesn't mean that you need to be, you not share your thoughts, but you need to respect. You cannot coercive, you cannot oppress. That is not God's way. And as Jesus' apprentices, we need to learn about that. We live in a polarized world between different parties and ideologies, ideas and preferences. And that's okay. But it's not okay when I start oppressing someone based on my preferences. Well, my preferences are right. It might be. But if you're following Jesus Christ, if you're Jesus' apprentices, you will know that God's way is a different way. So being faithful to God is not just do what he asks us to do, but is doing what the way he does. Being faithful to God is doing the way he does. And the way God does is respecting, loving, and caring. Unfortunately, that group has not been respectful of Elizabeth's opinion. They were trying to impose. And sometimes we see the same today. And if you don't believe like me, you're out of my group. I don't want to speak with you. You're cut off. Do you think that is God's way? No. Because when Adam and Eve went against God's opinion, God said, okay, yeah, you did God's opinion. Okay. Die. Forget about it. It's all about you. Figure out your decision. I'm out of here. No. God went after them and loved them and provide a way. That's a loving God that respects and go after, even though when humankind didn't follow his instructions, his clear directions. And how we should behave when people disagree with us. Continue love and after them and provide and serving. That is what means to be Jesus' apprenticing. Loving and serving like Jesus. But what we see today is Christians not following Christ's example. God's example. Then, let's go back here. So, verse 62, so they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. Verse 63, he mentioned for a writing tablet. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, his name is John. And then, look here. Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praise God. Zachariah stopped listening and speaking at the moment he doubted God. At the moment that he was faithful to God, he received that gift back. That moment of silence for Zachariah was a moment of growth, was a season of growth. And we can see that on what comes next, his song of praise. And we'll study that tomorrow. But Zachariah comes back at the moment Zachariah's possibilities to speak and listen came back at the moment that he was faithful to God. And he was saying, no, his name will be John. I'll be faithful. My relatives can be upset with me. My community will be upset with me, but I'll be faithful to God. And as he starts to speak again, verse 65, awe fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what happened is spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, what will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way. Wow. Everyone realized that that child was a miracle. And that God was there because Zachariah, after 9 months, was able to speak again with that baby John. That means God shows, God provides favor. And everyone starts speaking about that baby. That baby is special. What is God's plans for him? Zachariah will give some of the glimpses, a glimpse of God's plan for John on his hymn that we'll study tomorrow. But Luke is trying to create the momentum in saying this baby is special, and he'll be special because he has a special mission to point people to the Messiah, to prepare the way. God's actions bring his name to the top. His actions can be reasons for declarations and praises to God. And we need to pay attention to that. How can you praise God today based on what he's been doing in your life? How he's been sustaining you? But as we come to our last thoughts for today, I want to go back here to that thought that we were talking prior. How are you behaving when you come with different ideas, preferences, behaviors, theologies? How you behave? Do you try to impose yours? Do you try to make sure that people understand that you're right and they are wrong? And you try to sometimes impose and coerce people to accept you, and even maybe by shame and all that. And then when we go to the social media, it is sad. It is really, really sad what we have been seeing these days. But we need to keep in mind that God, he didn't die for your opinion, your preference, your idea. God died for my fellow brother and sister. So I must consider my fellow brother and sister more important than my idea, preference, behavior, and theology. I need to have respect and love even when we don't agree. Is that easy? No. But that's the goal. That's the target. Love God with all we have, with all we are, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's the motto of Jesus' apprentices. And that's the motto that we need to see alive today in our days. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this account. Thank you for your blessings. And I pray that your voice will resonate on our hearts. Help us, Lord, to love you. Help us, Lord, to love our neighbor. Help us, Lord, to be like you. Forgive our sins. Forgive when we don't respect other people. Forgive when we try to impose them to them what we believe. Help us to be more like you. Lord, let your name be known by your actions in your life. Let your name be praised by what you have been doing in us. Give us a great day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, let's go to our questions that we leave with you every single day. And the questions are, what is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others? Great questions for us to reflect and think upon. And I pray that somehow this experience in the Gospel of Luke will help you to navigate, to grow in Christ and having an experience with Him. We are not just look after some knowledge about Him. We are looking for a close fellowship, a communion, an experience with Jesus Christ. May God bless you. May God be with you. And I hope to see you tomorrow as we continue our journey. May God be with you today.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.